Okay. Thank you. Well, good afternoon to all. Hope you can hear my voice. Today is the 17th day of January 2021. Time is moving on very quickly. And we are still in this difficult days. And I have a sense that many of us are feeling a bit tired, not just physically, but also in our spirit. Not because we are tired, but we are tired of the situation. And I'm sure for some of us, it's pressing down upon us. But I just want to read a song to encourage us tonight. I should have asked one of the ladies to sing it, but I'll just read the words just to encourage us. It's called Soldiers of Christ Arise. Soldiers of Christ arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son, strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trust is more than conqueror. Stand then in his strength and might, with all his strength endued, and take to arm you for the fight, the panoply of God, that having all things done and all your conflicts past, you may overcome through Christ alone and stand entire at last. Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole. From strength to strength go on, wrestle and fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down and win the well-fought day. It's a beautiful song, and I just want to encourage us to persevere and not give up. Now let's have a quick word before we get into our studies tonight. Father, we thank you for your strength in our lives. We thank you for your word, which strengthens us and which enables us to persevere. Thank you for the hope that is in your word. We pray that you'll help us to be able to can press on, Lord, and trust in you, and help us to be able to learn about your word, and help us to be able to articulate our faith and to be ready to give an answer to all those who would ask of us. So we thank you tonight, and we pray that you will be with us as we spend this few minutes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what I would like us to do tonight is to begin a kind of small series on, you know, the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. I want to encourage us to learn these things so that we can at least articulate our faith and know what we believe. I just want to read a verse to support the fact that we ought to be able to give an answer to every one who asks us. From First Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. First Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. So in the first year at seminary, and that's true for every first year student, there is a study called systematic theology. And in that study, what the professor seeks to do is go through the scriptures and study the basic doctrines of the faith and see how it is taught throughout the scriptures. So they usually begin with God, scriptures, the fall, sin, then Jesus Christ, and so on. And I think that's important for us as Christians to be able to know what we believe so that we can answer to people who ask us what we actually believe. And if we don't know what we believe, then we cannot tell others what we actually believe. So tonight I want us to look at what we believe about the scriptures, what we believe about the scriptures. And what I was discussing is what we often refer to as our credo, what we believe, statement of faith, what we believe about God, about scriptures, about the Bible, and so on and so on. And I believe that every Christian should be able to articulate what we believe with regards to these very important topics. So tonight we want to look at what we believe about the Word of God or the scriptures. So I have a statement. It's on the screen. We'll just read and we will make some application. So I have a statement up which says the Bible is the revealed, inspired, inerrant Word of God, also called the Holy Scriptures. And I have some scripture passages there. We'll turn to those later on. The Bible contains 66 books and is divided into two sections, namely the Old Testament, consisting of 39 books, and the New Testament, 27 books. Now, of course, I'm sure that most of us already know these things. So for most of us, this will be a refresher. It will be a study to just refresh our beliefs, what we already know. Now, the Old Testament is further divided into three different parts in the Hebrew Bible. And Jesus Christ, in fact, in the New Testament, he spoke of the three different parts of the Old Testament. So in Luke chapter 24, I want to turn to that. Luke 24 in verse 44, this is Jesus when he was speaking with the disciples on the Emmaus Road after he was raised from the dead, and they were very discouraged, and he met them and he was discussing the things that happened about his death and resurrection. And then in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, Jesus said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, we have the threefold division of the Old Testament. Now the Hebrew Bible, which Jesus actually read and which he was referring to, is listed, and of course the English Bible is listed not chronologically, and we should keep that in mind. It's not written chronologically, so it doesn't necessarily mean that the books in the Bible were written according to the chronological order in which they were originally written. So in the Old Testament, as Jesus said, there are three divisions, which I have on the screen there. In the Old Testament, Jesus said the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Now, the Psalms are sometimes referred to as the writings. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms, or the law, the prophets, and the writings. So as you can see to the left of the table on the screen, the law is the Torah. That's the Hebrew word for law, the Torah. And the Torah, or the law, is the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they were all written by Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So that's the law or the Torah. Now the second column under the Old Testament, I have the prophets there. And notice that in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Old Testament, you have the former or earlier prophets and the later prophets. So the earlier prophets, now they are called earlier prophets because they were written earlier than the others. So the earlier prophets would be, notice, Joshua in the Hebrew Bible is considered a prophet. Right? Joshua, Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuel. Now, originally, 1st and 2nd Samuel were considered one book. And 1st and 2nd Kings, they were also considered one book. So these are the early prophets. And then you have the later or latter prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, and so on. So those are the early and the later prophets. And then in the third column on the Old Testament, we have the Psalms or the writings. Now, these are called the Psalms because the book of Psalms is the first in this section of the Old Testament. So the book of Psalms would be the first in the writings or the Psalms. So you have Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Solomon, Ruth. Notice Ruth is listed there. Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Esther. Notice Daniel is not listed among the prophets. Ezra, Nehemiah, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. They are the last book, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, the last book of the Old Testament. And then, of course, we come to the New Testament, and the New Testament contains 27 books. We have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have the book of Acts. Of course, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give us a recording of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The book of Acts tells us about the work of Jesus Christ while he was in heaven through the apostles. So the book of Acts gives us really the history of the beginning of the early church. If you want to know about the church, how it started, how it grew, how it expanded, then the book of Acts tells us about the birth and the growth of the church. And then, of course, we have the epistles and the book of Revelation. Now, I spell Revelation wrong here. I did correct it before I sent it. It's right there. It's wrong in my notes, but thanks. It's correct there. So Paul wrote most of the letters in the New Testament. He wrote 14 of the 27 epistles, and that would be 66%, two-thirds of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. So that, in a nutshell, is the content of the Old and the New Testament from Genesis to Revelation. So notice the Bible is one book, right? The Old and New Testament. Now it's called the Old Testament, not because it is outdated, but because it contains the Old Covenant. It is still relevant. So the Old and the New Testaments are one book. So the Bible is really a library of books. It is one book, but it contains various books. And in that sense, it is a library. One book with many books. Now, the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, and the word for scriptures in the New Testament is a word that we use for graphe, when you write something out. So when the Bible talks about scriptures, it's referring to that which is written down. In the New Testament, when the writers speak about scriptures, they're actually referring to the Old Testament, generally speaking. But from our perspective, the scriptures is both the Old and New Testament. But when Paul was writing in Romans, for example, First Corinthians chapter 15, when he says in verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." So when he says according to the scriptures, he is thinking of the Old Testament. But from our perspective, the scriptures contain both the books in the Old and the New Testament. Good. So why is the scriptures the word of God? Well, the Holy Scriptures are the word of God. Now, I want to stop here and say that sometimes we refer to the Bible as scriptures, the plural, or scripture, singular. Right? So the Holy Scriptures are the word of God. Why? Because in the scriptures, therein, God had revealed himself. God has revealed himself to humans. And that is the basic truth about the scriptures, the Bible. The Bible is God's revelation to us. If God did not reveal himself to us, we would not know him. If we didn't have a Bible to read, we would not know anything about God. In fact, we wouldn't know anything about ourselves. We wouldn't know our origin. We wouldn't know anything about ourselves. And so God revealed the scriptures to us, and that's why we call it the word of God, because it is God's word. Now, God revealed himself not only in the scriptures, but he also revealed himself in nature. And that's what we refer to as general revelation. God also revealed himself upon our conscience. Right? So in Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament thereof." So the heavens, right, nature, and I know that the Rock Solid kids are studying creation. And it is true that creation reveals something about God. The heavens and the earth reveal God's glory. So in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul says that everyone knows that there is a God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says there, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." So in other words, God has revealed himself to everyone through his creation. When people look up to the heavens and they see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the marvelous things of heaven, there is only one conclusion that we can come to, and that is there is a being who is more powerful than us. Now, of course, there are those who believe in evolution, but we know evolution is a lie, of course, because the scripture says that through God's creation, he has revealed himself to us. So that's one way in which human beings can really know that there is a God. But God also revealed himself upon our conscience. So in Romans chapter 2, and here Paul is speaking specifically of the Gentiles, not the Jews, because the scriptures were given to the Jewish people, and through the scriptures they were to know who God is. But Gentiles, and every human being, in fact, have this written upon our conscience. Notice in Romans chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, sorry, read from verse 14, Romans chapter 2, for when Gentiles who do not have the law practice instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written on their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. So every person has this, what we call conscience. And someone said that our conscience is our self-judge. Our conscience judges us and it tells us when we are wrong and when we are right. Every person has a conscience. Although some conscience might be shared, because when someone continues to do wrong and wrong, conscience become harder and harder, but it is not erased. So every person knows what is right and what is wrong, and that there is a God. And so through creation and through our conscience, God has revealed himself generally. Everyone knows that there is a God through creation and through conscience. And that's what we call general revelation. However, there is a different kind of revelation. Right? God's revelation in Scripture relates specifically to his salvific. That word salvific simply means his salvation purposes, his purposes in salvation. In the history of salvation, and if Lottie's on tonight, there is a German word which is very common among theologians when they're discussing salvation. That word, Greek, Hebrew, German word, Heilsgeschichte. It means history of salvation. History of salvation. And history of salvation is simply the way God has revealed himself throughout history as he reveals how he would save sinners. And so from the beginning of creation, from Genesis, the history of salvation began. After Adam and Eve sinned, God said that he will, you know, the son, the seed of the woman will, you know, crush the head of the serpent. That's the beginning of salvation history. And so as history continued, God continued to reveal more and more and more of his saving purposes. And so scriptures tell us about the history of how, now this is what scriptures is all about. Some say that, you know, our scripture is the Bible is a love letter to us, and that's true. But this is what the Bible is really all about here. The scriptures tell us about the history of how God, in his love, rescues sinful humans from the tyranny of sin. That's what the Bible is all about. It is how God rescues sinful human beings from a tyranny of sin. So in the Old Testament, we have the foreshadowing of what is to come in the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, God prefigured the coming of the Savior in the New Testament. So what we usually say is that in the Old Testament, there is prediction or prophecy, and in the New Testament, there is fulfillment. And so the Exodus, for example, is a prefiguring of the New Testament Exodus in the death of Jesus Christ. So when Israel came out of Egypt, when they were rescued out of Egypt, that is a picture of how God delivers us from sin. The world is Egypt, spiritually speaking, And Jesus Christ, through his death, delivers us, and that is our spiritual exodus. In the book of Leviticus, when you read the book of Leviticus, there are a number of laws pertaining to sacrifices, right? God commanded his people to bring a sacrifice before him, maybe a lamb or an ox or some animal, or even, you know, even fruits and other gifts that they ought to bring to God in the Old Testament. Well, all of these bloody sacrifices in the Old Testament are actually a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're a picture of the ultimate work of redemption in Jesus recorded in the New Testament. And so that's why in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and many ways. In other words, God in the Old Testament spoke in, you know, in the law, as we saw earlier on. We saw the writings, we saw prophecy. There are many portions in the Old Testament in which God spoke, and in many different ways. God used many different ways to speak to his people in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, in verse 2, it says, but in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So all of the institutions and all of the sacrifices in the Old Testament, even different people in the Old Testament, point to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you think of the story of Isaac and Abraham, when God told Abraham to offer up Isaac, his only son. That is a picture of God offering his only son, Jesus Christ. And so when we read the Old Testament, it's important to see Christ in the Old Testament. Someone said that the New Testament is in the Old Testament hidden, right? The New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. One book. All right, so let's turn now to a second part of our study, and that is the origin of the Bible. And I think that's the most important aspect of our study here tonight. Where did the Bible come from? How did it come to us? And I'm not speaking about how the Bible became a book, how it became a one volume. I'm speaking of the origin of the words of the scriptures, the text. Where do they actually come from? And when we ask this question, I believe that 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 is one of the most important verses. We had a good study on this a few Fridays ago, when Carter led us in our study on the scriptures, and we learned a lot. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 is a very important passage when it comes to talking about the origin of scriptures. And I want to turn there because there is one word I would like to explain, and I trust that after this study tonight, that all of us would know this word. It's an important word. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. This verse here really tells us about where the scriptures came from, the origin of the Bible. So in our English Bible, it says all scripture is inspired by God. Inspired by God. Now, if you have a study Bible, maybe in the margin, It will translate this phrase, inspired by God, with the words, God breathe. God breathe. Well, this word is very important, and I have it in our notes here. The Holy Scripture in its entirety is given by the inspiration of God. And the Greek word, here it is that word theopneustos. Now notice, if you know a little Greek, that word T-H-E-O, that's part of the word for God in the Greek. Right? The word for God in Greek is theos. So that's the first part of this word here. And the second part of that word, pneuptos, comes from the word which means to breathe out. So when we put this together, we have this word theopneustos, which means God breathe. God breathe. And so the scriptures are really the very breath of God. The breath of God. And that's the terminology that we use to describe the Bible as being inspired, or we see the scriptures by the inspiration of God. Now, what does it mean when it says that the scriptures are inspired by God? Well, by inspiration, we mean that in drawing up the original manuscripts, right, the original manuscripts, the authors were guided in such a way, notice, that they transmitted perfectly, without error, the exact message which God desired to communicate to people. That's important. Thus, the prophets and apostles have transmitted to us not the word of man, but the word of God. So, what they wrote were actually the very words of God, the very words of God. And so we do have a passage in First Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 11 says, from verse 10, 1 Peter 1, verse 10, it says, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them, notice the Spirit of Christ within them, and that's what I wanted to point out there. Right, those spoke the words of God in the scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they had the Spirit of Christ in them, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Now, in the second epistle of Peter, there is another passage that's very important. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Let me read from verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, so we have the prophetic word made sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all. And when Peter or Paul says, know this, first of all, that's something important that he's saying here. He says, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's private interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made, notice, by an act of human will. Right? Not by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So the men who wrote the scriptures, they were actually moved by the Holy Spirit, and that's how they were able to write God's word. Now, when you go back to the book of Genesis, you recall the Spirit was very much involved in the creation right? You recall that there was darkness. And then the Bible said the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters of the deep, right? In Genesis chapter 1. Well, that's the same picture here. Just as the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters of creation, well, in the same way, the Spirit of God was hovering, or he was actually within the men who spoke God's word in the Old Testament, and then God's word was revealed because of the presence of the Spirit of God. And so inspiration is extremely important. It's extremely important. Why is it important? That's my third point. It is important because what we have in the scriptures is complete and inerrant. Right? Holy scripture is, since it is inspired of God, since the 66 books of the Bible are inspired of God, it follows that the Bible is complete and inerrant. Now, I think that's important because there are some who would say that you need the Bible plus tradition in order to have all that we need. But because the Bible has been inspired by God, it means that we need nothing else. It is complete in its form as we have it presently. The Bible is also inerrant. There are no errors as far as theology is concerned. As far as God's revelation to us, there are no errors in the scriptures. We know that there are many people who try to mock Christians and say that the Bible that you're reading is full of mistakes and full of errors. But the Bible has no errors. It is an errand because it is the Word of God. Now, if the Bible is full of errors, right, if it's a mixture of truth and error, we would have to try to decide by ourselves what should be acknowledged as of divine origin or rejected as containing human error. In other words, if the Bible contained truth and error, then we would have to figure out what is the truth and what is error. But there are no errors in the scriptures, and so we don't have to try to find out what is truth and what is error, because everything in the scriptures is truth. Therefore, nothing at any time should be added onto or taken away from the Holy Scripture by anyone, lest God shall add onto such the plagues which are written therein. We read this in many places in the scriptures, particularly in Revelation chapter 22, verses 17 and 18, which I want to read here. Revelation 22, 17 and 18 says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the wafer, the water of life, without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book." And so we cannot add or not take away from the Bible. And finally, since the scripture is the word of God, it is the final authority on matters pertaining to doctrine and life. And that's very important. Why is that important? Because we cannot look to tradition or the teachings of humans for the final authority when it comes to matters pertaining to doctrine and life. The Bible is the final adjudicator in everything pertaining to life. Whenever we have any questions pertaining to any subject in life, we turn to the scriptures to find out what it says about that particular subject. And it is there that we receive the final authority on any aspect or any subject of life. So that's what we believe in a nutshell about the Bible. And of course, there are many other things about the scriptures, but these are the essential things. And the main point tonight, which I want us to take, is that the Bible is inspired of God. Theopneustos. Every member of Scarborough Baptist Church should know this word, not just in the English, but in the Greek. Inspired of God. Theopneustos, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. That's a verse that we all should keep to memory because it is vital. All right, so that's all that I have for tonight. And I'm hoping that I can look at another aspect of our faith, what we believe, and then we'll take it as time goes on. If I have to change and maybe do another passage, that's fine. In light of this pandemic, that's a moving target and things change ever so often. I have all these plans for Sunday evening services, Sunday morning services. But in light of circumstances, we can always change and study another scripture passage. But I want us to focus on the basic things that we believe as God's children. So the first thing we learn tonight is about God's word, that it is inspired of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the scriptures that you have revealed to us. We pray that you'll help us to cherish your word, help us to read your word, help us to be able to apply your word to our hearts and to depend upon you and trust in you. Thank you so much for speaking to us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. I pray for everyone who is present here tonight. May you be with us and bless us and keep us this week in your care. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.